Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Yo, what's up?
Brian Brushwood.
Yo.
So, gentlemen, I had the pleasure last week to go speak in front of a class of students over at Pepperdine College and Pepperdine University, and it was very interesting. First part of the class, I was actually hiding inside of a closet to spring out after the professor played a video clip of me for my show. It was one of these, like, sounded like a great plan until I realized, like, how hot and lack of air there was in there. But that's not the important part. It was a great class, really, really good students. It was a lot of fun to talk to them. And I wanted to know, and I was walking, you know, it's weird because when you go talk to somebody, you know, when you talk to a 20-year-old, and coming from the point of view of, like, remembering way back then and thinking, what was the world like for us at that point? And then thinking now, the world that they're about to step into is crazy in so many ways. You know, I mean, crazy, amazing, the opportunities, et cetera. And I would say that when I graduated high school, internet was the kind of, like, thing, but, like, World Wide Web wasn't really a thing. And a lot of, like, the big sort of development sort of happened a couple years later. And the excitement of that. And so it was like, I was high school, there was just, you know, there's Windows, you know, Apple was a declining force, and the internet was just, you know, something that people at universities used to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And that changed radically versus, you know, Justin, when you were in high school, that was a thing, you know, we could joke about, you know, MySpace, you know, or Drudge Report or whatever. Now you look at a 20-year-old and thinking about, like, wow, look at where you're 20 years old and you're watching the news and you have some guy who thinks that we're going to be putting people on Mars, perhaps. Self-driving cars could happen by the time you finish college. You know, this world in which you're living in is changing dramatically, and it's a very, very different sort of place. With the perspective you have now, imagine, like, what would you have told – one, a 20-year-old version of you back then? That's my first question. And then my second question is, what would you tell a 20-year-old who was a lot like you now?
Man, I don't know how much of my answer is colored by the fact that I'm still reading Nassim Taleb's Anti-Fragile. And one of the things that one of the most fragile institutions, and I guess I'll, you know, spoiler alert, that's going to be my pick again. I think it was my pick in the main show last week. It'll be for After Things this time. Anti-fragile or a fragile system is one that is based on a certain expectation of stability, right? Where it's like, this is the way it is and is going to continue to be. And then when anything alters that, the system breaks. For example, you're in a union, your job is to pull a lever your entire life at the steel mill, and then someday, so all of a sudden that lever's not necessary anymore, and you've built 30 years around learning how to pull that lever, and all of a sudden you don't have to do it anymore. That's a very fragile system. I think a big part, whereas an anti-fragile thing is, like, build up a set of skills, stay apprised as to trends, educate yourself constantly your entire life, and figure out, you know, where to go to where people are needed. And in that case, you know, in that case, the very act of turmoil in the workplace and the constantly emerging opportunities actually serves to benefit you, because you are the kind of person that can easily pivot from one thing to another to another. That's the biggest thing I would say is, when I was 20 years old, the whole reason I even did the Plan 2 program at UT was because you didn't have to pick a major. It was an interdisciplinary honors program. And I liked that idea that I didn't have to pick one thing. And it ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made, because while I graduated with essentially a degree in magic, because that was my thesis, was doing a magic show, along the way, I picked up a hodgepodge of different skills that were applicable to a bunch of different things. So I guess, and I'm going to pinch advice from Scott Adams here, creator of Dilbert, in his fantastic book that was your pick, Andrew, a while ago, How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big. He says, you're better off being good at two things than being great at one. And I think that that speaks to the anti-fragile thing, right? If you're great at one thing, then you could be the best at the one thing. But the moment that one thing is not relevant or not necessarily or not in demand or not popular, that makes things very difficult. Whereas if you can kind of speak in public and you could write kind of funny cartoons and you can kind of write a successful blog, you're going to be Scott Adams, you know? This is his opinion, not me indicting the quality of his cartoony.
And that's a very good point, because that's going to lead me into the second question I'm going to ask after we let Justin, if you want to take a shot at this, which you're looking at a 20-year-old you know, back in time, what would you say? And now, you know, would you be more specific or just sort of generalized?
Code. Learn code. Like, it's the same thing that I would tell me back then, that I would tell somebody, a kid now, that I tell myself, you know, when I think of things that I would like to get better at and continue to do. There's no, you know, no doubt about it, especially living out here and seeing what money there is for people with proficiencies in those areas. You open up a world of possibility for yourself. And it's like, now it's become more and more a regular part of everyday like life. You know, if you want to be a good, comedian, you should probably know how to code. If you want to be a good artist, if you want to be a good anything, you know, you are never going to be hurt by learning how to code.
I would say that, so you've gotten specifically into skill. Brian, would you, so skill wise, where would you drill down into and say?
This is the same advice that I would say, be an effective communicator. If you're not an effective communicator now, learn how to become an effective communicator. Yes, it is a skill that anyone can learn. It takes practice like anything else, but if you could be comfortable expressing your ideas, we are going to increasingly live in the communication age where it won't matter how smart you are, won't matter how strong you are, won't matter even how connected you are. What'll matter is your ability to communicate to other people.
So how would I go about acquiring those skills?
As a matter of fact, I can't remember the exact name. I know there's a podcast called The Art of Charm, but there's a charisma podcast that basically charisma on command is what it is. It talks about essentially the core of effective communication skills. And it talks about, like, there's one titled, it was a little bit clickbaity, but it said, why does Jimmy Fallon look fake? And he goes on to explain that losing yourself in somebody else's joke and finding it funny in the moment. And, you know, his conclusion is that he's not fake. He's just somebody who genuinely finds it very, very easy to play a supporting role in somebody else's story. And that's why he's so likable. And that's a very rare and wonderful thing to do. And you shouldn't fake it. But there are ways to put yourself in a headspace where you could find other people interesting and find yourself laughing at their stuff. So I guess, I mean, the short answer is YouTube. You could learn everything on YouTube.
There for people who want like in-world experience to test things out too. You have the Dale Carnegie courses, you have Toastmasters, and there's other stuff too. Like, you know, it's learning things online is a great way to get that information in, but then you got to find ways to actually go test that out there, particularly public speaking. I mean, that's a, you know, we had to learn by doing, we had to learn by going out there. And I had to sit down and sort of evaluate some of my skills recently and think of where are my strengths? And I realized, like, man, like, I'm not as good of a public speaker as I think I am. And I think that it's an area that if I wanted to do more of, I would need to spend more time trying to drill down and figure out how to be a better, because I just don't do as much of it as I used to. And it's a skill that kind of goes away. So,
yeah, I think that's part of the reason that I pretty much only I have nothing but the utmost respect for Justin's ability to do a one mic show. Everything I do in podcasting, I just need other people to bounce ideas out and back from, you know, the idea of just opening up my mind and having a coherent hour long monologue come out is wizardry in my opinion. How do you do it, Justin? Spill your secrets.
Oh, just love to hear yourself talk. You know, there is an inherent. I listen. I think you can learn to be better at it, but I do believe that everybody who is very proficient or the best at it have an inherent little narcissism crystal that just lives in their brain, and they just want to hear themselves talk because, like, that's the only time they can get their real thoughts out, you know? But, you know, I think communication is definitely, you know, gigantic, you know, and if anything, I think the biggest lesson that I've had and that I think we tend to, because information is so plentiful now, we tend to kind of, I think maybe skip over a little bit too much, is just literally go out and do something. Like, you know, if you are interested in any element of it, literally the act of, like, if you want to perform, learn how theaters work, learn how nightclubs work, like learn how tickets work, learn what the economics of that are, learn what a good house is, what a bad house is, like when everybody makes money, when everybody doesn't, what the pay rate is. Like, the closer that you get to understanding the problem that you have, the less you are going to be able to, you know, kind of mystify it in your head. And that's where I think sometimes we undervalue rubber meets the road kind of stuff, because, like, listen, we've never had a greater ability to model out what the problem was and could be in our head, because, hey, all the numbers are there, all the information is there. I talked to somebody who did it, right? But especially when you are younger, man, like, you'd be amazed how much simple, you know, how much big problems look simple once you've understood the larger ecosystem in which they live.
I've noticed that I've always been bad at networking. And the problem was is that it's only important to me when I need something, and that's the worst time to network, because that's when you just walk into a room going, how can you help me? How can you help me? And that's the person you don't want in the room. And I've things I'm into, I'm interested in, and I'm like, you know what, I'm early into this thing. I don't need anything from anybody, but I need to know who's out there and just go meet people. And that's been an effort that I've been trying to make, is just to get out of my own little, like, I love to sit in front of my computer here and plan, you know, take over the world. But the reality is that you need to go out and meet people and know how things work and know who to go to. And that's been a big profound. I mean, my two biggest pieces of advice I would give is, I totally agree with Brian's point about public speaking skills and being able to communicate. It's just key and understanding how you sound. That's one of the problems that people have is, I've watched tons of, like, startup presentations of people who are, like, going on to pitch their startup, and in their mind, they have one idea of how they're coming across, but they don't realize at all that how, what we see, and, you know, we see the person stumbling through this prepared thing and nervous and not getting to the heart of the idea and how unformed it is, or people who think that they're going to be Steve Jobs when they bounce onto stage and they look like clowns, that kind of side of stuff, and people who are just unaware of just how delusional they are about their approach towards things. That's certainly, I think, a part of awareness, whatever, of your message and who you are. Skill-wise, and I'm going to, you know, this was going to sort of segue into, like, what's the most important thing you've learned in the last few years? I would have said a year ago was learning how to write books, learning how to actually sit down and write a book and have the patience to finish something. And that's changed my life profoundly. And I would say most recently was finally learning enough coding to be able to build things, other than web pages, to build things that do things. And I put that off for the longest time. I put that off like, you know, I'll go hire somebody to do it for me. I'd talk to friends who are, you know, more advanced in business and stuff, like, just hire somebody to do that. Well, that's great when you're in a position to have money and resources to go do that. But if you're just trying to experiment around with an idea and see if it works, that's not, unless you want to just start writing checks for thousands of dollars and waiting for somebody to, you know, deliver for you. To me, that's like, I made the effort to learn how to do, you know, learn how to code, learn how to solve these problems. And it's life changing. It is just this, it feels like I have a new superpower.
Well, and you are even in a position to be a better person to hire somebody now, because coding is very complicated, and some of the best coders I have ever met very often, like, need, like, the systems in which they are building. If you do not format your question correctly, you will just get spit back no. Right. And so it's like, you need to know enough to even talk to people that are next level amazing. Like you need to learn that language to even really effectively play the game, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. And I've encountered, like, with author page, I needed to do something where I wanted to have, like, authorpage.com/ would then go to your name, which in one hand sounds trivial, but when you're doing that in a Rails environment, that's why so many places you go to, they put you need to do it in a subdirectory. Put, like, you know, like Reddit has like R or whatever. A lot of places they don't do that because that's it's not given the way that functions. And I could not get an answer on how to do it. I could not get a straight answer on how to do it. And I spent, like, you know, weeks just digging into even building my own URL shortener that used AuthorPage to go point to it, which was just the jankiest way to do it. But I reached a point at which I could learn to ask the better question. And then I found a little explanation somewhere online and how to do it. And then I was able to get it to work the way I wanted to. But I talked to very experienced coders and stuff like, no, I don't think there's a way to do it. No, you'd have to maybe go do it this way or whatever. I kept getting no. I'm like, there's got to be a way. And not to say there always is, but, you know, and now I've had this project I've been trying to do relating to that. And, like, I've had 3 conversations with PayPal on the phone asking them about stuff and, you know, getting like, I don't know. We've never had anybody ask that. I don't know if you could do that. It would be very easy for me to go, like, if I was hired by somebody else to go, like, nope, they can't do it. Can't be done. But because it's up to me, you know, now I know enough to know, like, no, I don't think they know what they're talking about.
Well, and I think you said something really profound when you said ask better questions, because when it comes to trying to get, whether it's an answer you need, whether it's help you need with your, you know, insurance account or whatever, there's a big difference, or even just getting somebody to, you know, do you a favor. You can ask, hey, is it possible to blank? And then they'll just say no. Like, you never want to phrase a question in a way that no is an acceptable answer socially. Like, like it's just not possible to answer the question with the word no. But instead, you need to hand them the ball and say, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. I need to get from this point to that point. I suspect I might be able to use this route. If you were me, which way would you pursue? What is the best way to get from point A to point B? Because meanwhile, other people would say, like, hey, if I do this, will that get me to there? Or just say, like, hey, can I, you know, am I allowed to blank? Then the answer is just no. Like, never phrase a question where the easiest thing for them to do is say no. Always phrase it in such a way where the easiest thing, it's easier for them to just own the question and actually solve it rather than just, you know, blowing you off.
And it's some things, like, I've had this problem where I've been trying to deal with sort of some technical issue I don't need to get into, but it's a point where I get into this documentation and my head hurts because I don't understand it. You know, I'm very, very new to this. I don't know what I need to know. I don't know what's important. I'm still things that I go, like, oh, I'll just do that here. And now a little bit further, I'm like, oh, no, that's not secure the way I did that. And you kind of like, yeah, secure. What am I worried about? And it's like, well, you know, meanwhile, we had one of the largest, you know, service attacks on the internet because of a bunch of unsecured systems and stuff. But it's, I've noticed that my problem is like, it's the reason you give up on a lot of things. I give up on a lot of things. If I can't compute the parts of it, if I don't understand it and my head hurts, then I just want to go do something easier to go do that. But sometimes you just have to just incrementally piece by piece by piece by piece, break something down and see your way through it. And when you do that, that's when change happens. Literally, when you go do that, you are actually rewiring your brain. You're rewiring your brain to that task and to understand. So I'm in a position now when I come across some very, very complicated documentation and coding that I, you know, there are people listening to this who would be very easy for them to understand. They think in those ways. I don't. And so my brain hurts like some people when they read a book about how to write or whatever kind of stuff. But I've learned every time I go tackle it and I learn how to solve that problem, it doesn't mean that I always solve every problem quickly. I'm just less afraid of that. I don't have to go lay down and go watch Jaws 2 as much. So, code. Learn to speak, learn to code, network. Network before you need it. It's like Brian talks about Kickstarter. By the way, Brian, I keep thinking you should write a book about your building your whole enterprise.
I think that there's a lot of really good stories to tell. I just, for some reason, I feel like it should happen after the story is completed. Like, I don't feel successful enough that I feel entitled to write a book on becoming successful or the success of our business, because, like, there's still, like, I'm not paying anyone nearly what they're worth. And I just want, I was expecting Bryce to chime in like, you're here.
You're so weak from lack of food.
I just want to get, I feel like I can get 3 to 5 years farther down the line, I think I'll have a really good story. It's still, I just don't have a good ending yet.
That's not an excuse, and you know it.
You're right.
That's not an excuse, because you will always be 3 to 5 years away from, like, I don't want to violate our trust, but you have passed certain milestones that I know you set for yourself.
Yes.
That's your ending. Like, that's as good an ending as anything else. Sure. Is there a position where you would like to be better or stronger? Of course, because you are an analytical person who has a projective mind and understands that there are new places to go, because that's the pathway that you want to walk. But does that mean that you can't already tell people, like, information that would better their lives? Absolutely not.
I'll give you an example. Like, I wrote my book, How to Write a Novella in 24 Hours, and I wrote The Cure for Writer's Block, not because I'm like, listen, I've got 40 years of writing experience underneath my belt, and I'm going to share with you my wisdom. I wrote it because, like, hey, I still think like a person who started out, so I can talk to you like a person starting out, not like a person 20 years down the road who gives you advice that, you know, one is maybe more condescending than they mean, or doesn't quite apply because, you know, I needed the beginner's mind. Like, one of the things I was trying to do, I was working on some piece of code, and the only explanation I found, all the documentation I found was horrible. The one thing that made sense and helped me was written by a girl who's studying computer science in Boston, who went through the same problem and wrote an explanation for how to solve it. Was the clearest, most concise explanation I could ask for, because it didn't make a bunch of assumptions. And there is a value to that. Hey, I'm here, and I know a lot of people would like to get to here, and I'm trying to get to there, but let me tell you about here, and here's kind of cool. And let me tell you what the steps got to me to this point, because that's going to be far more applicable actually to people than this is how I built Brian Brushwood Enterprises, the worldwide conglomerate. Because most people never get there, but there are tons of listeners that want to know, how do I get people to listen to my podcast or watch my YouTube show? How do I interact with these people and keep them coming back? You know, how do I keep a steady supply of young interns coming to work for me, even though, you know, I have strange, strange behaviors and quirks and stuff, yet they're eager to do it. So I think where you are right now is far more helpful to people. It's not, your book is not supposed to be the triumph of Brian Brushwood. It's like, this is how I got to here, and where I'm here is really, really cool.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And as they're pointing out in the chat room, it's like, look, you know, Tim Allen picked the perfect time to write his book. It was a bestseller at the time. He had a number one TV show, and the Santa Claus was a blockbuster. He didn't wait till after that and after the reaping to talk about how he did it. Ah, shit, shoot.
And if you're worried about timing, if your issue, if you feel like timing is bad, like, that's not a good reason to not write.
No, you're right. You're right.
The stories won't go away.
You guys are right. You guys are right.
Do it. Yeah. So go. Well, all right. Chapter one. Go. And go. Quit, and write your book right now.
Quit your day job. Chapter one.
Chapter one. How to deal with overbearing and aggressive co-hosts.
We're going to work backwards.
Gentlemen, do you have any picks?
Yes, I'm doubling down on Anti-Fragile, Nassim Taleb's. I'm halfway through it now. I do find it a little bit tedious at times. I understand he's got a grand theory. Some of the examples, in order for me to appreciate, I have to understand, you know, Middle East civil wars and stuff. And I'm just like, this is a bit, you know, I probably could have preferred some more concrete examples to my world, but I understand that it's very concrete for him because he grew up in an area being torn apart by civil war, and he gave, you know, some very specific, he did his best to explain the story, but still it's like my eyes glazed over because I'm in America.
Hey, I got a pick. It's an app. If you find yourself in Europe as Americans, you might hear that they are very fond of these things called trains. Trains run on tracks and connect places. Now, you might think, oh, the train, that's that slow, ridiculous thing that nobody uses in America unless you live on the Eastern Seaboard and take the Acela from D.C. to New York. Yes, but there, they love them. They run them all the time. They are also very, very confusing to buy tickets for, as I found out. They got peak, off-peak, super off-peak. It's very weird and Byzantine. But the app Trainline really was a godsend. They kind of break it down super easy. So go ahead. If you are in Europe, go ahead and try Trainline.
Brian, it's starting. We're just going to get the why Europe's so better about everything now. You know, that's right.
He's been infected. There's only one solution. All three of us have to go.
I don't know. Well, I mean, they need trains because you want to know what these people don't have? Like highways. They're all elevators. Just on like cobble street roads. You know, it's just insane over there. I don't get it. But I like Trainline. Trainline made it easy to buy a ticket.
Gentlemen, I have something in my hand.
What's that?
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Is it candy?
No and no.
Okay.
It could be, though. It could be, Bryce. Oh. It could be all of those things.
Okay. Is it? Why do I feel like this is going to end with an empty hand? You said, it's possibility, Brian.
That's possibility.
That's what's in
it there. It is possibility. It is very much possibility. I want you to imagine anything in the world. Imagine anything in the world. It could be in there.
Oh, geez. Wait, is it a flash drive? It's a flash drive.
No, not a flash drive.
An is American
it the
dollar.
Key to a brand new car.
It could be. What do I have in my hand, you ask? Gentlemen, what? I have an Amazon Dash button.
Ah!
I can press this button and have delivered, well, in this case, Angel Soft toilet paper. But my point is, it is a very interesting, Amazon, those of you know, they've come out with the Dash button. And so, like, I look at, like, man, what's the one thing I always need to buy? I'm like, well, not always need to buy. Let's not be crazy. But, like, oh, I'm like, toilet paper. You look and you're like, oh, like, I've got two rolls left. I sure could use some more. And I just buy mine from Amazon, right? I said, you know what? Why don't I get the button? So you get, it's like $5 for the button. After you use the button, you get $5 back on your purchase. So I said, you know what? Let me go ahead and get one of these because I always get the same amount, same whatever. And it's a very interesting idea. The idea of press a button and this thing gets shipped to you. Now, they put in the sort of the fail safe on it is if somebody sees your button and presses it a million times, it's not going to keep sending you a million things. It doesn't work until after the last object has been delivered.
Gotcha.
So.
That's good because my guess is people will forget. They're like, well, I still don't have toilet paper. Maybe I only thought I pressed the button before. Bleep. And then let me hit it again.
Mm-hmm. It's such a – Amazon is a very fascinating company. Amazon – there's Amazon, which we started off as a company that sold us books. Then Amazon, the company that sells us everything. Then Amazon, the company that does the web services provider. There's a good portion that anything you do today at some point is going to go through Amazon servers, whether it's serving up a movie on Netflix or a website you go to or whatever. They're making forays into so many different areas. And then the whole idea of a button that you press that it delivers a specific thing kind of boggles my mind. And I started thinking about like, man, is there – I love the idea of iPhone apps and stuff are great, and Android apps are neat to be able to sort of, you know, go into your phone and go do that. But there is the idea of that single purpose thing that does something. Like, you know, is there a keychain for Uber? You know, is the idea that you put a, you know, if you live downtown, whatever, you just put a thing in your keychain, you press the button, the Uber button lights up, and a voice says, oh, do you want to order an Uber? Like, yeah, I do, you know. The idea of taking things out of the phone now and putting them into smaller gadgets and devices that sort of work like tools.
Yeah, right on.
It's brilliant. Amazon is smart. I think that they're great.
I think they're onto something. I think they should move into rocketry.
I think it's not just because it's where I get my health care now.
Yes. Elon Musk worth now 72 – excuse me, Jeff Bezos, pardon me. Jeff Bezos now is worth $72 billion.
Man.
Right? That's his net worth, okay? And this is a guy that also wants to make humanity interplanetary and, you know, live in space.
Hell yeah.
His resources. I think there's a high probability it'll happen if it's technically feasible.
Heck yeah, man.
And all I have to do to support it is keep pressing this button and ordering toilet paper. Doing my part to get us to space. I'll go to Taco Bell. Get us there faster. Gentlemen, it's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.